152 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News. The CEO of TikTok is set to testify before Congress.
Popular video sharing app TikTok is facing growing backlash on Capitol Hill as lawmakers cite concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could share user data with China's government. Republican Senator Josh Hawley has proposed a nationwide ban on TikTok, citing national security risks. In March, TikTok's CEO will now testify to lawmakers for the first time. The House Energy and Commerce Committee says the hearing will cover TikTok's privacy and data security practices, the platform's impact on kids, and its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Scholze, ABC News, Washington.
Lisa Loring, who played TV's first Wednesday Addams in the 1960s series The Addams Family, has died. Loring's representative confirming to ABC News she passed away on Saturday surrounded by family. Loring first starred as Wednesday when she was 6 years old. That role has attracted new attention with the success of Netflix's series Wednesday. Loring was 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
La Crosse, Wisconsin, from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbeff Incorporated.
We're gonna do it.
That's where we want to welcome you to State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, January 31st. A very frigid day at the Schatz Brewery. As we say so long to Shirley, Shirley Feeney, portrayed by actress Cindy Williams, has died at the age of 75, a fictional mainstay of pop culture in Wisconsin. Cindy Williams, along with Penny Marshall, took Laverne and Shirley to TV stardom in the mid-1970s, and we will talk more about that during the show today. Also, it looks like the flat tax may be going flat, which was not a tough prediction to make, but it is a sign of progress in state budget negotiations. Governor Tony Evers, again, threatens to veto an entire state budget if Republicans go through with a giveaway to the super wealthy. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss indicates that the flat tax isn't a deal breaker. So we'll hear what they each had to say over the weekend on the state talk shows. We'll visit with Chad Holmes a little later to find out what's happening up in Wausau, where things are a little chilly right now. If you want to reach us, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155 or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Or you can go to our live video feed of this show, either to the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page of our flagship station in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. Wausau right now, my computer doesn't even have a Wausau temperature. That's how cold it is. And Aaron Zommers is in Madison, where it's at least 9 below there. Right, Aaron? Good morning.
Yeah, depending on where you're at. Good morning. But I know my phone said minus 10 this morning when I went outside. And all I know is I was thinking about maybe stopping somewhere, picking up a little breakfast sandwich, but I am not going to be walking anywhere.
No. And that's one of the nicer temperatures that's out there today. Green Bay right now, you are at 8 below. Richland Center, Rice Lake, you both are at minus 20. Here on Lake Wissota, it is 16 below. Every time I keep thinking I see a lower temperature, I stumble upon somebody else. I thought it was going to be Manitouish Waters at 26 below. But near as I can tell, the current coldest spots in Wisconsin are both in Merrill and Tomahawk, both reporting 27 degrees below zero right now. And so I don't need to give you all the precautions because that is just life-threateningly cold. So
just think, Pat, you could be ice fishing today.
I could be. And by the way, there are out straight out my window, there are two ice fishing shacks on our portion of the Chippewa River as it flows into the start of Lake Wissota. So we're not known for a ton of ice fishing around here, at least on this stretch of the river, just off the Lake Wissota golf course. But at least two hardy souls are giving it a go.
That's too many. Come on, guys. It's just too cold.
Yeah, I don't know that they're out there now, but they've been out there in all manner of conditions, and I can't say that I understand it. Not one bit. Some people like to ski. Some people cross country or downhill ski. And there's snowshoeing. There's snowmobiling. There's ice fishing. Mine's the hot tub. My winter recreation is in my bare feet, going, you know, the 15 feet or so from the house to a hot tub. That to me is pretty recreational.
Well, and especially now that you have the heated floor in your bathroom, you can come back inside and you can just lay down in there.
Starfish right there on the bathroom tile. Yes, that is the proper antidote afterwards. You do have to get back inside rather quickly, because if you've got a wet swimsuit, you really don't want that thing freezing by the time that you get in there. All right, let's not dwell on me in a swimsuit. Let's just for a minute again remember Cindy Williams. She brought life to the first childhood crush for many a young man in the 1970s, playing the adorably innocent girl next door, Shirley Feeney, who, unlike Laverne, refused to vote-o-do-do. And it was just a very charming show. It was a spinoff of Happy Days, and there's already a statue of Fonzie in downtown Milwaukee. And so expect now that both Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams have passed, expect a new round of nostalgia for what the franchise brought to the Milwaukee area. I know, being raised, you know, in Eau Claire and in the Twin Cities, that, you know, Milwaukee felt a million miles away, and yet these shows made that corner of Wisconsin feel a little bit closer. We, you know, it was a bit of a cultural touchstone. So Aaron, somebody of your age, where I'm sure they weren't in reruns or anything, so you had an awareness of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, but probably not exposed to any episodes.
I haven't seen Happy Days, but I have seen all of Laverne and Shirley. My family watched it together maybe like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Glad might be time to rewatch it.
This would be a very good time. And to remember what a brewery town that Milwaukee was, with Schlitz and Pabst and Miller and everything else. And I say that because I'm reading the history of the Leinenkugel's Brewery right now. I got that book as a Christmas gift. And, you know, Wisconsin has, of course, its very earliest settlement history revolves around brewing. And Laverne and Shirley from the Schatz Brewery helped bring it to life of sorts for all of us here in Wisconsin. Let's take a break. A lot of headlines to cover today and your phone calls right after we get things started on a Tuesday. This is Up North News Radio.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo?
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquezan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done, so let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Bright sunshine today with a high of 9 above. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour.
Lows dip down to about 3 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 21. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 9 below.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
We'll get to the budgetary back and forth between Governor Tony Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss coming up in just a bit. For some housekeeping, tomorrow we will have an attorney from the Green Bay area who has experienced the full range of smears for being a trans woman, from whispers to, you know, full out bellowing from, you know, trash radio on the right wing. And she will tell us more about the LGBTQ issues in the state Supreme Court race. And that reminds me to tell you, if you haven't received or applied for your absentee ballot yet, and there's any doubt that you'll be able to vote in person on February 21st, then go get that absentee ballot. Write this down. Myvote.wi.gov takes very little time. You'll get your absentee ballot and you can vote in the race. Tomorrow, we'll also talk to Julie Lassa, my former colleague in the Wisconsin State Senate, who now heads up Wisconsin Rural Development for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and will tell us about the latest USDA grants designed to help infrastructure improvements in Wisconsin. Thursday, we'll have Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and she will have Dr. Ben Weston in here, and we'll talk about where are we now with COVID and new vaccine recommendations. And in a very timely move here, we will also talk about something new from the Bush administration that looks to sunset the national emergencies for the COVID-19 pandemic. It does not mean COVID is going away. It does not mean we have to be any less cautious. It's more of an administrative thing with certain provisions that come with it. We'll find out what they are, but then again, have that reminder of what we can all do for our health and well-being, and try to keep this thing, which is still killing hundreds of people a day, at bay. Again, our phone numbers today, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Without a guest today, your voice will break up the rambling of mine as we talk about things like what's on the Up North News Facebook page, where we have video from Milwaukee mom Deanna Branch. She was at the White House last week to be recognized for the way she spent years fighting to replace lead water pipes after her son Aiden was hospitalized twice with severe lead poisoning. Thanks to Branch's activism and that of many others, it built a movement that secured $15 billion in funding for lead pipe replacement as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. Deanna introduced Vice President Kamala Harris at the event, and then she later talked to Up North News in a video that you can see on our Facebook page. So take a look over there. And we're asking our question of the week, are you middle class, and what's your definition of middle class? It appears to be that fewer Americans are now considered middle class, not just because some aren't doing as well as maybe their parents' generation, but obviously there's a lot of people whose wealth has grown exponentially compared to what we were used to when we were a lot younger. So we'd be curious as to see how you define middle class. To answer that, just go to the Up North News Facebook page, look for the post with my mug and Aaron over here as we do the live video feed of this radio show, and give us your thoughts in the comments on that particular post. To the state capitol now, where, again, the legislature has to, every other year, approve a state budget that funds things for the next 2 years. The ways that our roads will be fixed, the way that our schools will be funded, the way that our natural resources will be cared for, and so many other things. And of course, this has been a bit of a difficult stretch, shall we say, the past 4 years with Governor Evers and Republicans controlling the legislature butting heads. But of course, it goes back farther than that. It dates back to 2011 when Republicans first took over the Wisconsin legislature with Scott Walker as governor, and an era of austerity began that has continued to squeeze local governments and school districts. It has led to higher property taxes because with the state not holding up its end of the bargain, local taxpayers are being asked to pay more through the property tax instead. And now Republicans in the legislature have been proposing a way to make things even worse. And that's by having what they call a flat tax, which is nothing more than a giveaway to the super wealthy, because instead of various brackets where the wealthier you are, the slightly higher percentage of your income gets paid in income taxes, all of those extra brackets would go away and everybody would pay the amount of the lowest bracket. So, billionaires like John Menard and Diane Hendricks, they would pay the same 3.5% state income tax rate as any middle-class family, as anybody in what you would call the working poor, all paying the same, which is, great news if you're John Menard or Diane Hendricks. Means that you don't have to do nearly as much as you're asked to do now to help fund the things that, gave you the conditions to eventually become a billionaire or at least very well off. And instead, you can plow that into other matters like, Diane Hendricks did with putting millions of dollars into political ads to help, Ron Johnson win re-election rather than, again, funding things that are essential in Wisconsin. Needless to say, that this is a proposal that would not pass any Democratic governor. And last we checked, Tony Evers, being a Democratic governor, is in office. And yet, Republicans have continued to talk about how they want to, they're trying to sell you on a flat tax plan. And they figure if they refer to it that way enough times, rather than, a huge tax break for the very wealthy, that public sentiment will build for it. But there's no sign that that's happening. And of course, Governor Evers isn't bending. They eventually have to make a deal. And so this past weekend on Capital City Sunday from WKOW-TV in Madison, A.J. Bhatpour sat down with Governor Evers and talked about whether Evers was actually willing to veto an entire state budget if that is the only way to kill a GOP flat tax plan that might be included. Here's a little of that Q&A.
Any scenario in which you would veto a Republican budget that returns to your desk?
They do the tax proposal that they're looking to do, yes. The fair tax, where it's going to be equal across all parts of Wisconsin, that is not in my really wick.
So you'd veto that entire budget? You wouldn't seek a partial veto? You would just...
Possibly. But that's kind of a death knell for me. I think our progressive tax system is a good one, and we don't need to be spending our time and effort to provide the wealthiest of Wisconsinites with an extraordinary large tax cut.
And one of the things you may have caught in there is the governor trying to couch the rhetoric. AJ is properly asking about essentially the nuclear option of vetoing an entire budget bill and making the legislature, send something new. And by and large, governors don't have to do that in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin governors have a line item veto that is still very powerful and allows a governor to strike out portions of a budget bill to try to avoid that very scenario of having to veto an entire budget bill. But again, the question has to be asked and answered so that the governor can make clear that he is not going to go along with this particular type of massive tax giveaway.
So in some other states, you might not necessarily be able to veto individual things on the budget, and you'd have to cancel out the whole
exactly.
thing.
Yep. Across the 50 states, there are all kinds of different rules. Wisconsin has typically had the most powerful line item veto once upon a time. Governors could strike individual digits and individual letters to form new words. That has since been reformed, but a governor can still do that far more here than almost any other state. But it does vary from state to state.
Yeah, at least that's been reformed, because forming whole new words or just taking off a zero is a bit ridiculous.
It is. And so that part has been reformed over the years. And then, of course, there's been that discussion of, a partial veto overall. Should chief executives even have that, or should it just be a take it or leave it approach? In my view, having a reformed partial veto, which we have now, is probably the best way to go to ensure that, you know, both sides act in good faith. And to his credit, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told Matt Smith on WISN-TV's Up Front last weekend that he's not going to insist on a flat tax. It's not a take it or leave it thing. Matt Smith asked if Voss is willing to work to avoid a veto showdown with the governor, and Voss said, of course he is.
Are you working to ensure, I guess, through compromise that that won't happen?
Well, it's never our goal. I mean, we want to make sure that whatever budget that gets through the legislature focuses on the priorities that we have, and hopefully they're shared by Governor Evers. Look, I'm very sincere in saying, look, not everything has to be an argument. I think we can have massive tax reduction. I think we can also make investments in our priorities. It won't necessarily be one or the other, and I realize that. I hope he does, too.
On taxes, the governor has said to me, if a flat tax is included in the Republican budget, that could signal a veto from him. Are you going to include that anyways?
Well, we have to work with our Senate colleagues. First of all, I think we need to have significant tax reform to be able to make sure that Wisconsin remains competitive.
So you're not hard set on a flat tax?
No, I mean, that would be my preference. But again, I understand that Governor Evers has concerns with that. But the most important thing for us to do is we have to make big efforts toward reducing our tax burden. Flat tax would be ideal. If we can't get it too ideal, there are other ways to get there.
So there's the speaker again, and again, noting, and I say this as a former state senator, here's the assembly speaker reminding everybody that, you know, the Senate Republicans get a vote too, and sometimes the Senate Republicans do not necessarily agree with the assembly Republicans. I know that sounds hard to believe, but it actually does happen. It's quite true. Then I can tell you there were times when, as a member of the Senate Democratic Caucus, we'd look at the Assembly Democratic Caucus and say, what? We're not taking that up. You know, that's part of the fun of a bicameral legislature. But Voss does continue to make the point in his mind that there needs to be significant tax reform. And he says if they can't get it through, you know, one way of having a massive giveaway to the very wealthy, they'll look for another way to do it. And I don't doubt that for a minute, that is ultimately what they're trying to do. Is lower taxes more for the people who are at the very top of the income food chain. And Assembly Speaker Voss said as much on the floor of the Assembly last week, saying something along the lines of, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And while that's the valid position to take, should that really be your highest priority right now? Is another massive tax giveaway for the very wealthy, or are there bigger fish to fry? Are there more pressing problems in the state to work on as the economy continues to make a comeback from a pandemic? And as the state sits with a $7 billion budget surplus, in case you missed that last week, yes, the amount of the surplus has been raised again. It's $7 billion that is simply sitting there unused. Again, Republicans were hoping Tim Michaels would win the governor's race, and then that whole $7 billion would be devoted to tax cuts, mostly toward the rich, and almost none of it would get used for things like schools and roads and things like that. Well, as I've said many times, there are so many ways to get a win-win out of a $7 billion surplus, where you can do big-time tax breaks, especially for the middle class and for the working poor, and also fund essential services. But there are ways to screw this whole thing up as well. And if legislative Republicans want to continue to cling to massive tax giveaways at the very top as their highest priority, then yes, the rhetoric of a veto, as harsh as it sounds, is something that's still going to be in play. When we come back, more headlines around Wisconsin, your phone calls if you wish as well to come join us on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to...
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells, President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
We're going to get an update on the police murder of Tyre Nichols and the ongoing quest for police reform coming up in just a moment. One comment from the Up North News Facebook page from yesterday's guests with Motherhood for Good, talking about the ways that they are continuing to use social media and other activities to make very important political issues accessible to busy parents. And we want to thank Amber Jean for the comment of, I love how Motherhood for Good gives you bite-sized actions to take. It allows for politics to feel accessible, which, yeah, is exactly where we're trying to do it on a certain level here with the program. And certainly Motherhood for Good and others. I think what we're trying to say is, look, politics and the whole business of news out in the world can be overwhelming. But there are these one or two things that you can do at any given time and make them your priority, make them your focus, and try to make things a little bit better for all of us. So where are your priorities? Well, as we talked about in the last segment, for some legislative Republicans. It's about overhauling taxes in a way that helps the very wealthy, provided they can, you know, sell their constituents on the idea no matter where they live. And Larry is called in and has some thoughts on that for us this morning. Larry, thank you for the call. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I was privy to some salesmanship by a legislator in the district where I have a vacation home, which is Meredith County, actually. And they're promoting this, that it's, you know, the flat tax, if they reduce it from 6.5 or whatever it is to 3.2, it's proportional. Now, proportional doesn't mean equal, and some of us understand that. So, you know, the little guy out there said, oh, wow, I'm going to be paying half taxes. But what they don't realize is ramifications on the future. You know, the wealthy are going to get wealthier, and they're going to be able to buy politicians that are going to even strip the budget even more. I mean, if you're tired of paying for school referendums because the state isn't funding schools, and they're putting more of the school money into private schools, which is another joke, because private schools don't have to follow any of the rules. There's no transparency. Nobody knows what they're doing. It just gets worse, and it's really important, you know, and it all comes down to gerrymandering. You know, why are the Republicans in control? Because of gerrymandering. So it's real important this coming election. It's the primary, but in 2 weeks or so, get rid of the conservative majority on the Supreme Court. That's, you know, so we got to elect at least one, you know, non-conservative, and hope they win in, you know, the general election, which will probably sometime this summer.
April 4th, actually. Yep. Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for helping us understand how things are being sold by Republicans and frankly, in the right wing media bubble. Remember, there are, we are a speck in the universe in a galaxy of right wing radio talkers and cable TV channels and what have you. And a lot of your neighbors are hearing exactly what Larry was telling us just now about, you know, that this is somehow equitable, when, again, as Larry put so well, that doesn't mean the same as equal, and it would be a far greater slashing of responsibility for the very wealthy than it would for everybody else. Two more Memphis police officers have been disciplined, and three emergency responders have been fired in connection with the death of Tyree Nichols. It widens the circle of punishment for what was a shocking display of police brutality after video showed many more people failed to help him beyond the five officers accused of beating him to death. Officer Preston Hemphill, who is white, was relieved of duty shortly after the January 7th arrest, and later in the day, the police department announced another officer had been relieved, but without naming that person. And it takes us, as that investigation goes on, I noted that one of the follow-up stories by the Associated Press said the Tyree Nichols case revives calls for change in police culture. And all throughout this article were the calls for reform, and people like President Biden and other Democrats putting out the call for reform. And I thought something seems to be missing here. I did a word search on the word Republican, and the word Republican was nowhere to be found, as in police reform would have happened after the George Floyd murder or in other instances, but Republicans have been blocking that. It was nowhere in that story, which I found to be very odd and not helpful as to explaining what are the issues that are preventing national standards for police behavior, so that you don't, again, have a checkerboard of circumstances where, you know, a chokehold is legal here but not legal there, and no-knock warrants are allowed here but not allowed there. And one of the real sticking points is something called qualified immunity. You know, the extent to which police officers and other public servants are protected from lawsuits for their conduct. The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act includes a proposed change to federal law to ensure that police officers can be charged for reckless conduct. Right now, police officers can only be charged for discharged for willful misconduct. And again, proving willful misconduct versus reckless conduct can be a tall order, and explains why many police officers who are, you know, bad apples that give the rest of law enforcement a bad name are still on a force someplace and can simply move to another force because there isn't, for example, a national database that tracks law enforcement officers who have been, you know, dismissed because they are violent. These are things that certainly don't sound partisan to me, but they do sound partisan when you hear from certain politicians. Let's take Florida Senator Rick Scott. He says to CNN that he's open to negotiating with Democrats on new standards for prosecuting or suing officers, but said his priority is the protection of police officers and their ability to serve their communities. I'll always listen to everybody's proposal, Scott told ABC, but what I'm not going to do is put our law enforcement community in a position that they've got to second guess themselves when they're trying to make sure people are staying safe. When they're trying to make sure people are staying safe. Is Tyre Nichols people? Yes. Did those police keep Tyre Nichols safe? No. Because they treated him as less than a person. And when that happens, is that still law enforcement trying to make sure people are staying safe? Are the people in Memphis any safer because these police officers beat a man to death? They are not. So these officers were fired, but they're fired because there's body cam video and surveillance video from other cameras, security cameras, that show this. If you look at the early reports right after the Tyre Nichols arrest, beating, and death, it shows us a different circumstance entirely than what those five officers and now others did to him, and the EMTs who didn't treat him or didn't treat him promptly. There would have been a totally different version of events, one that we've heard many a time when people were sure there was more to it than that. And so the debate goes on as to if there should be, again, stricter national standards. And then how do you enforce that? Well, you enforce that, of course, with funding. That's how the federal government enforces a lot of things. It says, look, these are the rules. If you want funding, these are the rules. If you don't want to play by those rules, there isn't the funding for you. The whole reason that the Justice and Policing Act hit a snag last year was because Republicans, like Florida's Rick Scott and like South Carolina Republican Tim Scott, claimed that withholding funding from police departments who fail to reform, in their mind, constitutes defunding the police. And there it is. Law always looking for that political hook on which they can justify not reforming something that their base does not want them to reform, and will instead look for those buzzwords that will generate excitement, rage, anger, what have you, rather than simply doing their job of trying to identify a problem and fix it. But if you don't want to fix it, nothing's going to happen. You know, Republicans now control the U.S. House of Representatives. House Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan of Ohio said on NBC's Meet the Press he did not think federal action was necessary. Quote, I don't know that there's any new law that can stop that evil that we saw. But he did that. You know, there's things we can do. But again, they don't really say what they are. And again, are simply, anytime they throw up their hands and say, well, you know, another law isn't going to help, What they're really saying is they're good with the status quo. They do not have a problem with the conditions that led to what happened to Tyre Nichols, what happened to George Floyd, what has happened over and over again in this country. And at this point, that makes them complicit in each of these instances that happens. And they happen again and again and again. As I mentioned on Thursday, we're going to talk about COVID-19, the state of it right now, and also, coincidentally, what should be the state of the national emergency about COVID? President Biden told Congress on Monday that he will end the national emergencies to combat the coronavirus outbreak on May 11th. That's a move that will restructure the federal government's response to the pandemic nearly 3 years after it first arrived. It comes in part because House Republicans are looking to end the emergency declarations immediately, which the White House argued would cause chaos and disrupt efforts at an orderly winding down of the emergency status that's out there. Because there are things that come along with states of emergency. There's ways that funding is divvied out. There are things that the way that PPE is funded and what have you. But again, House Republicans are not looking to do anything without at least some degree of chaos. And obviously, it's in a way, it's buying a page from the Wisconsin Republicans playbook here in this state, where, again, Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Health and Human Services were taken to court. And the conservative majority on the state Supreme Court went along with the chaos that followed. That instead of, again, one state standard that everybody would know about, there would be a checkerboard of individual rules about masks and about whether things could be open or closed, depending on the whims and therefore the politics of local officials, rather than what's best, rather than following the science. There's no telling how many people died as a result. There's no way that we'll ever know the full damage that was done of people that simply could not come together and fight a pandemic together as a country. And so now President Biden wants to wind down those national emergencies and at the same time remind people of the importance of still getting vaccinations, even as people like Ron Johnson continue to lie about the vaccine and continue to lie about claims that they're making in terms of the effects of it. It's going to be an ongoing fight whether there's a national emergency or not, because the true national emergency is members of a political party that are working adamantly against our democracy, against public safety, and against public health. This Day in History and a music break next. You're up north.
Redemption songs, these songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. It's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maintenance experience? Take it to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo invites you to its job fair Wednesday, February 1st, 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Bright sunshine today with highs around 9 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 above tonight, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 21 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 9 below.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
7th birthday, but sadly he passed away back in 1978. He is a co-founder and a guitarist from the band Chicago. That was him singing Make Me Smile. He sang so many of their early hits. He had amazing guitar skills that were praised by Jimi Hendrix, a voice that was influenced by Ray Charles. But Kath struggled with health issues. He struggled with drug abuse. And that led to a deadly lapse in judgment in January of 1978, after jokingly pointing his revolver at his head, not realizing he'd forgotten that one bullet was still in the chamber. And he died just days short of his 32nd birthday, leaving behind a wife and a one-year-old daughter, Terry Kath, from Chicago, born this day, 1946. Couple of musical notes from this day in 1970. The Jackson 5's debut hit the charts. I Want You Back. I think we might have actually played this a couple of weeks back to note that they debuted on national TV on the Ed Sullivan Show with that debut single as well. But what else was happening that day, January 31st, 1970? Led Zeppelin hit number 4 on the charts with this hit, their highest charting single ever. You need cooling. Baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna sit, yeah, back to schooling. So yeah, Whole Lotta Love got to number 4 on the charts, but most Led Zeppelin songs, including Stairway to Heaven, were not released as singles. And so even though they are legends of American music, they did not have the chart history that so many other tunes have. You know, somebody like Justin Timberlake, today is his 42nd birthday, and all he does is make chart-topping singles like this one. Sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. I can't imagine why Aaron isn't dancing. I mean, how do you not tap your toes along to this one? But
oh, I am tapping my toes.
Okay, all right, good. We don't have a camera on there, so I wasn't quite clear. Justin Timberlake, 42 years old today. On this day in 2010, it was quite a scene at the Grammys. If your name was Beyonce or Taylor Swift, because what a haul they each made. Beyonce won 6 out of the 10 awards that she was nominated for, including Single Ladies, the Song of the Year. But Taylor Swift also had quite a night there. Her album Fearless was Album of the Year, which included this tune, Love Story. So Taylor Swift wins the Grammy in 2010 for Album of the Year. She was 19 at that time, the youngest person ever to win that award, the Grammy for Album of the Year. As I was looking through the history notes for this day in history, we're going to go off of the music track and just talk about one special thing that happened on this day in 1846. On January 31st, 1846, Remember, we were talking about Milwaukee at the top of the hour and what a community it had become, the sense of community that Laverne and Shirley, helped to show to people. It wasn't always that way. And on this day in 1846, the city of Milwaukee was formed, but the city of Milwaukee was formed because it brought an end to a war. The Milwaukee Bridge War had lasted most of the previous year because once upon a time, there wasn't a Milwaukee. There were just some settlements along the river. One that was formed by Solomon Junotown, that was on the east side of the Milwaukee River. And then Byron Kilbourne had Kilbourne Town on the west side of the river. And then to the south was Walker's Point, founded by George H. Walker. And between the three settlements, they had repeated disagreements on where the bridges should go, who should run the bridges, where the streets should go, which, by the way, in hindsight, if you're ever in downtown Milwaukee and notice how the bridges seem to run at kind of a crooked length across the river, that's because each of those settlements had different street layouts, so they weren't nice and neat for the bridges. Now, while nobody was killed in the Milwaukee Bridge War, bridges were destroyed, bridges were damaged, bridges were dismantled because there was disagreement on where the ferries should go, whether the bridges would harm boats that were bringing supplies to one settlement or the other. And after skirmishing for the better part of 1845, the sides all came together and those three communities united to create the city of Milwaukee and end the Milwaukee Bridge War on this day in 1846. Aaron, I had no idea about this. I mean, I would like to think with that statue of Fonzie, the Fonz maybe could have solved the Milwaukee Bridge War and gotten everybody together if only he'd been around back then.
Yeah, I think he probably could have.
if only he'd been around at all. We got time for one more musical note, and it has nothing to do with history, but I don't even remember, why did we first play this Ken Griffin tune, Beautiful Wisconsin? What brought this on?
Well, let's see. I don't remember who the guest was, but I just wanted to find something that was Wisconsin-themed. So I looked up songs about Wisconsin, scrolled down a little bit past the obvious things or ones that were just not actually applicable. I found this, started listening to it, and was like, what the heck is this? I've never heard that before.
Let's bring this up for a minute, and then I'll tell you what Aaron found about it.
Beautiful Wisconsin, glorious and grand.
I love the Scandahoovian lilt in his voice as he's singing this. The vocals are by somebody named Johnny Hill. Ken Griffin is the organist, and this is the B-side of a 1949 record called By the Waters of the Minnetonka, an instrumental track by organist Ken Griffin. Johnny Hill only recorded this song and one other with the organist, Aaron, is what you found for us in the notes on Beautiful Wisconsin.
Yeah, I looked at like discography of Johnny Hill, and it was this and one other random song that's not quite as interesting.
And so now, of course, for everybody I know in Minnesota, I've now got to dig up, the flip side of that, By the Waters of the Minnetonka. And as I recall, Lake Minnetonka was featured in the movie Purple Rain. Now I've got to figure out if we can somehow get a mashup of By the Waters of Minnetonka to somehow be done to a groove from Purple Rain. And we really need somebody in Wisconsin to do a modern day rendition of this. I'm sure we can take Beautiful Wisconsin and turn it from an organ song and into something the kids can dance to today.
I'll look into that.
Take that as a challenge, kids. Make Beautiful Wisconsin relevant for today. Thank you, Johnny Hill, Ken Griffin, and Aaron Zommers. More in our next hour after a news breaker up north.
Fear you may be missing out? You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.